As we continue our countdown to the royal wedding, I thought we should talk to a pro. No, you know what? A legend. We're going to talk to a legend at covering these types of things. He got his start in my hometown, or my home province of Manitoba, right? Peter Mansbridge from CBC is joining us on the line.
I started in Manitoba in 1968, and I covered my first royal event in Manitoba, actually, up in northern Manitoba in Churchill when the Queen and Prince Philip and Charles and Anne all came to Churchill as part of a tour of that province's centennial year. And that was, I've still got my little ID card, you know, the press card from that tour. So it was a long time ago.
Okay, I want to ask you then, do you keep all those little mementos? Because I've got a whole bunch of, like, media passes from red carpet events and things like that. You must have quite a bit from decades.
Yeah, I do from, you know, a variety of events, from, you know, big UN conferences to many royal events and political conventions and you name it. So I've kept most of them over the years. It's more of an interest to my my kids and my grandkids than it is to me these days.
I've got to ask you then, why did you never wear a Don Cherry suit at the national desk? Why did it never happen?
You get right down to the heavy hitting questions,
yeah.
Right? There were times when in the old CBC building in Toronto, not that long ago, 25 years ago, there was no air conditioning, and in the summer months it got really, really hot. And the closest I'd come to wearing a Don Cherry outfit is I'd wear shorts, because you were only seen from the waist up.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. You know, everybody is excitedly waiting for Prince Harry and Meghan to walk down the aisle. Let's talk about the history, though, of royal weddings, because you've covered, it's three of them, right?
Three, yep. The first was Charles and Diana in 1981, and then Andrew and Sarah in 86, and then Will and Kate just a couple of years ago.
Take us there, though. What is it like? It looks very high class.
Well, they are, and those ones especially were, and, you know, Charles and Diana, Will and Kate, especially because you're dealing with the, you know, the next in line to the throne. So it's a huge deal. Those were all in London and involved either, St. Paul's or Westminster Abbey, you know, parade around Buckingham Palace, and then the famous balcony shot off Buckingham Palace once it was all over. This one will be different because it's at Windsor Castle, still a very royal place, but it doesn't have the kind of landscape that London does in terms of the background for one of these weddings. But they're a big deal, you know. There's lots of pomp and pageantry, and you'll see a lot of the world's influential people at these kind of things. But this one is different in the sense that he's well down the succession list, number six at the moment. But he's also brought with him, in terms of this wedding, a lot of things to talk about. The bride, as we know, and Meghan Markle, is an American. She's an actress. She's a divorcee. She's older than he is. She's biracial. So there are lots of different angles which, even just a generation ago, would probably have prevented this marriage. But in today's world, it's a different world, and the monarchy has adapted to that different world, and we're seeing this happening in front of us in a few days.
Jeremy Bradley here, back talking with Peter Mansbridge from the CBC, legendary anchor for so many years, so many decades, I guess. We're talking about the royal wedding. Let's talk tradition. Again, there's lots of, these things are like timed down to the minute, though, aren't they? Like, it seems like it's really scripted.
Or to the second. They really are, and, there are all kinds of people standing at the sidelines who are tut-tutting if things go off track, even a few moments. But, you know, it's a very particular ceremony, but it does boil down to the I-dos at the climatic point of all this. And so in some ways, it's a wedding like any wedding. In others, of course, it's so very different because of all the pomp attached to it.
So what you're saying is that if someone runs long, they're getting, like, the wrap-up signal, like at award shows.
I would imagine.
Now, people line the streets, though. I imagine that, you know, they're camped out a long time before, probably more than Donald Trump's inauguration. Am I right?
Oh, I think there'll be more people there than that. You know, Windsor's is in effect a pretty small little community. It's got a huge castle. It goes dates back 1,000 years, and the property, the royal grounds around it are massive. I was there a couple of weeks ago and was allowed to go through some of those grounds, and you know, they've got like 1,000 deer running wild in the on the property. They've got this beautiful what they call the Great Walk or the Long Walk. It's a 3-mile walk leading up to the castle. Part of that walk we'll see this coming weekend when the royal couple will be, you know, in a horse-drawn carriage, all this obviously weather permitting, will go up to the castle. It'll be a spectacular sight. But the community's going to come to a standstill because it can't handle a small crowd. There'll be massive crowds there. I mean, for the royal weddings we were talking about in the past, there were 1 million people around the palace. You couldn't get 1 million people into Windsor. I'm sure there'll be an attempt to get hundreds of thousands, but it will bring everything to a standstill. The roads will be blocked for miles around around Windsor getting into it. Windsor's not far from London. In fact, when I was standing on the grounds a couple of weeks ago, you can look back towards London and see the skyline. You can see some of the big buildings like the Shard in downtown London. You can see all that. It's quite near Heathrow. There are going to be lots of planes flying directly above the castle because it's right on one of the major flight paths in and out of Heathrow. It's like 10-minute drive on a normal day from Heathrow. So it's you know, it's just a very different setting than what we were used to inside London and at the palace.
Now, you mentioned the horse-drawn carriage, and so there's a lot of historical traditions. You know, we always see the big floppy hats. What are some of the weird ones that you think that are a little bit off the wall, maybe over the top with these weddings?
Well, you know, we recall from the Will and Kate's wedding the fascination with the fascinator.
Right.
On the part of many of the women in attendance, and they're already trotting those out. There's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of those around, not just on those who are participating in the ceremony, but those who will be in attendance outside. So, you know, that'll be, but that was so last wedding.
Oh, okay.
You know, one assumes that there'll be something new for this one that everybody will be talking about immediately after the wedding, because I don't think most people were aware of what a fascinator was when Will and Kate got married, and then suddenly it was the rage. We'll see what happens here. The you know, Meghan Markle is a beautiful actress who's known for her spectacular outfits. One assumes she will have one on her wedding day that'll have a lot of the fashion people talking about.
Jeremy Bradley here, back with broadcasting legend Peter Mansbridge from the CBC, talking about Prince Harry and Meghan's upcoming wedding. Do you find that more people are getting involved in the royal family, like when there's these weddings and babies, as opposed to, you know, a generation previous?
I'm not sure about that. You know, I think there's the normal discussion point around the royals. I mean, this time round, things are, you know, a little different. Obviously, centers around Harry and Meghan, as it should, but there's also an undercurrent of another discussion that's going on, and that is the Queen is 92, and, you know, she's not going to live forever, and the odds are that some point in the next decade or so, she's going to be leaving the scene, and it's pretty unclear of what's going to happen to the monarchy after that. I mean, we know the succession list. Charles will become king. But what will that actually do to the monarchy and the way it's kind of respected and revered? I mean, nobody will say a bad word about Queen Elizabeth. She's had a remarkable reign. She is loved and adored in all areas of the Commonwealth and countries with particular ties to Britain. Whether that be on the part of people who believe in the monarchy or not, happen when she's gone? What'll happen when we suddenly start, you know, seeing a different, you know, face on our currency, in our case, in Canada's case, or on our stamps, or on those portraits that hang in public offices, or, you know, and I like to think of the hockey arenas from coast to coast to coast in Canada, many of which haven't changed the picture of the Queen since the coronation. You know, they sit in the one end of a lot of hockey rinks in our country. And all that's going to change. And are people ready to sort of accept that? Or are they going to start asking more serious questions about why the monarchy exists? I know they are, even in Britain, because we saw it when we were there a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, that is going to be an interesting discussion that has started to take place. And, we'll see where it leads.
You mentioned the Queen, and you've met her, and I know she doesn't do interviews, from what I understand, but if you could ask her one hard-hitting question in an interview, what would you ask her?
It would probably be along the lines of why. Like, what is the actual need for a monarchy in 2018? Like, what purpose does it serve? Over history, we've watched that change quite a bit in terms of what the monarchy means to a country like Britain and countries that follow Britain. Today, it's very much sort of a charitable organization. She's a patron of thousands of different charities. But beyond that, what's the point? I think it would be interesting to hear what she has to say as the time gets closer to her passing on those responsibilities to the next in line.
When we look at the upcoming generation, it seems like, you know, Prince William and Harry, they're more approachable and they're, you know, they like being out there with the people, as did Diana. Why do you think that it's becoming more and more like that? Is it social media and we just have this, you know, easier accessibility to people?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things. I'm not sure Will is that, you know, keen on spending a lot of time in the public eye. If anything, he seems to prefer not being in the public eye. Harry, though, is different. And that's why, you know, some people will look at this next week and say, wow, they are the modern couple. They are representative of what a modern monarchy could be. I mean, because of, you know, their differences from those in the similar position from the past, and because of the very public nature of their roles, they seem to love being out there in the public eye. But you know, I think, you know, listen, they grew up in a very difficult time with what happened to their parents, which was a very public split, and then what happened to their mother and the, you know, her tragic death, and their relationship, you know, with people like us, with the media, which has always been extremely tentative. Will has been, you know, obvious about his concerns about a media that's too close. Harry, a little less so, but every once in a while he'll say something that shows that he's still burned by what happened during his childhood years. And, you know, they're aware of what social media, very aware of it, especially Harry and Meghan. And they, like a lot of other people in their positions, are not fans of some of the things that happen in social media.
Let's talk about the guest list. You mentioned this is, it ends up being sort of a who's who of, you know, world leaders or of VIPs anyway. And much was made about Justin Trudeau not being invited to the wedding. Now, historically, though, are political figures usually involved? Like, why did this seem like such a scandalous thing that the Prime Minister wasn't involved?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a scandal, but, not everybody gets invited to these things. And they've made... Their guest list seems to be more about people who represent organizations that they clearly care about on the charity side. Now, they've got a lot of friends coming, and there are friends of the of both Harry and Meghan, especially Meghan from Canada, living in Toronto, who will be there. But you know, it's for them. It's not a. It's based on the friendships they've developed over time, over these past couple of years, as opposed to who should be there in some kind of political pecking order. Remember, Charles and Diana didn't really have a lot of friends. I mean, they were an arranged marriage. There's no question about that. These two are different, and they met a lot of people along the way, and a lot of people they care about. And you know, it's a small chapel compared with the ones that were we've witnessed in the past few royal weddings. So it doesn't surprise me that there's less in terms of the political crowd than there are the charity-based crowd and the friendship crowd. Those are the kind of people they want there. And let's not forget, you know, he's not next in line or even second in line. He's sixth in line. He's never going to be king unless there's some absolute catastrophe involving all the ones ahead of him. So it's a different situation than the others we've witnessed. But I'll tell you one thing, it's probably going to be 20 years before we see another royal wedding of any significance. So if you enjoy these things, you should probably be watching.
Jeremy Bradley again, joined by Peter Mansbridge, legendary broadcaster from Canada at the CBC on the National for many years, many decades. And we're talking about the royal wedding for Prince Harry and Meghan. There's a lot of tradition, though, when it comes to these things. But how much say does the couple get? Would Harry have the say of, like, no, I don't want all this? Would people be talking to him and saying, you know what, you should? Like, who makes that decision? Who makes the call? I mean, it's his wedding, but...
Yeah, I'm sure on this one, they have an enormous say in the way it unfolds. Obviously, the Queen and those around the Queen would have a certain say. She's just finally approved the wedding in the last couple of days. That's the tradition and the paperwork that has to be done involving anybody in the royal family. But, you know, she would have a say. She would have to agree to allowing Windsor Castle to be used as the backdrop and the headquarters for the, you know, the chapel for the actual service. But listen, it's their wedding, and I'm sure it's unfolding and will look like the wedding they want it to be.
Is there something you look forward to when you cover these weddings?
Look, you know, I've spent 50 years in this business, and most of what I've covered is not this kind of light and airy stuff. It's pretty hard, and at times, you know, very emotional to cover. So when you get a chance to do something that is, you know, hopefully a fun moment, it's enjoyable to do, and you look forward to having that opportunity. These things, you know, much to some people's surprise, or the various royal events that I've covered over the years, you see a real mix of people in attendance, and I can safely predict that the crowds that we'll see at Windsor will reflect different ages, different cultures, different genders. It'll be a very diverse crowd, and with the hopes and desires that that this thing turns out the weather's nice, that everybody has a good time, and that they are a happy couple. I mean, the facts are that of those three weddings that I've covered, two of them ended in divorce.
Right.
One seems to be extremely solid, and they got three wonderful kids, and they seem very happy, and all that. And people can only wish the same for Harry and Meghan.
Well, then I'm going to ask you, what's more exciting for you to cover, a royal wedding or the Olympics? Because I know you've done a lot of those. What is it, 13 Olympics?
Listen, they're both, you know, fun events for all the reasons I just said about the royals. Olympics are great because the world is actually right in front of you. And, you know, it's one of those rare occasions where you know that you're setting, you know, standing or sitting in the epicenter of something that's being watched around the world, that it's a shared enjoyable to be at. They're news in the sense that something's happening and something's different and changing. But it's not news in the sense that, you know, somebody's suffering or there's some, you know, violent change occurring, whether it's a natural one through some kind of disaster or whether it's made by humans and as a result of some conflict. I mean, all those things I've been at, and, you know, my mind has been scarred by the emotions of what I've seen and all that, but events like this give you the opportunity to realize there's also another world out there, and it's so I enjoy them.
Talking the royal wedding, Jeremy Bradley here again, joined by Peter Mansbridge from the CBC, the National, for so many decades. Of everything that you've covered, and of all of the interviews you've done, I have to ask this one. Every reporter has a misstep, something that's happened to them, you know, either live or just really embarrassing on the air. What is yours?
I've never had an embarrassing moment. I'm kidding. I've had many, like most people who've been in this business as long as I have. I'll give you my royal one. I was doing a live commentary of the arrival. This is 1972 or something. The Queen's sister, Margaret, Princess Margaret, was coming into Winnipeg to officially open the Winnipeg Art Gallery. And I was sent out to the airport to do the live commentary of her arrival, which was a big deal in those days. We, you know, first of all, live coverage was a big deal. Second of all, any, you know, senior member of the royal family, of which she was at that time, was a big deal. So we're doing this live coverage, and the plane lands. She'd come in on a regular Air Canada flight. Plane lands. Stairs are rolled up. The doors open. I've been told repeatedly that she would be the first person off the aircraft. So sure enough, this woman comes out, and she looks out at the crowd, and there's a big smile on her face, and I'm saying, there she is, Princess Margaret, big day for Winnipeg, and blah, 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 all that. And then I suddenly realize, that's not Princess Margaret. That's an Air Canada flight attendant. So that was a little awkward, and I got to properly berated for that by the locals.
Not only the locals, but things like that, though, they make a way to the tabloids over there in England, don't they?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah. The tabloids love anything they can get that will turn the story a little bit in a way that will attract attention.
Finally, then, what are you doing during your retirement? You must be relaxing, going to the lake, golfing. No, you're still working for CBC, right?
Well, I'm actually working for myself.
Okay.
I'm a freelancer. I've retired from the CBC, but I have one of my contracts is with the CBC on documentary work. I'm doing a couple of documentaries, major one-hour documentaries a year, and the first one goes on this week, the night before the wedding, actually, and it's called A Royal Wedding for the Ages, when we kind of look back at some of the examples of the past and how the monarchy has changed in these last couple of hundred years, and how in many ways this is a real change that's taking place with Harry and Meghan, and what it may represent for the future as the monarchy is constantly challenged to kind of update itself and be aware of the times that are changing around it. So anyway, that I'm doing those. I'm involved in a lot of speeches. I'm on a number of boards as a director. So I'm actually very busy, but at a different pace, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, as always, CBC has full coverage and as you say, a bunch of royal specials and programming throughout the next few days, right? So we'll be watching for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I hope you do.
All right. Well, Peter Mansbridge, the legend, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.